Matthew 11, starting at verse number 25 from the Message translation. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spell them out clearly to ordinary people." "Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work." Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. "The Father has given me all things to do and say." This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Church, I have a confession to make. I struggle with organization. Why y'all laughing? Some of y'all act like y'all already know this. You're not surprised by this. Let me illustrate it a little further. And trust me, I don't like that I'm not organized. And I would like for you to take note before I go any further that research and psychologists have noted that people who are disorganized display a unique genius. They are highly intelligent. I'm not making this up. This was in the journals. They did the research. So now, if that's true, I am a huge genius. But let me illustrate just how disorganized I am and how it impacts and affects my life. If you want a window into my disorganization, perhaps the best place to look is on the desktop of my laptop computer. Now, here's a picture of my desktop. Now, that's not too bad. I have folders and they're listed alphabetically, and I have folders of things I'm working on and some things I want to readily get to, my schoolwork, you know, my ministry files. But that's not really what's alarming on this picture. I want to direct your attention to the bottom left portion of, 57,462, that is not the amount of money in my bank account. That is the number of unread emails that I have. Unread emails. That's not in addition to the read emails that I have in my email box, which probably totals somewhere in the 80,000. Here's the silver lining here. That's not as bad as my iPhone, where I have 76,000 unread emails because I have multiple email accounts. 54,000 emails. Now, to what do I ascribe, or what's the reason that I have all of these emails? One is a lot of it is just the junk email, emails that I don't respond to. There are several reasons that, you know, this number is so grotesque, trust me. I purchase a lot of items online, you know, through online stores, you know, Best Buy and Target and furniture stores. And usually when you purchase online, you have to create a username and a password, and they send you email. And then after you make your purchase, you know, weeks and months go by, and they, you know, these stores, they will send you emails, you know, hey, we're having a sale, or hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. And they send these things with coupons in them. And rarely do I just see the email and just delete it. I just don't open it and I move on. This will explain to those of you who send me an email, and you'll say, hey, have you read my email? I try my best, but it's just so much clutter in my email box. I mean, here's an example of an email that I received from Value City Furniture. Is there picture next? Yeah, here's a Value City Furniture. They sent me this email and come in and save 10% or 15% or 20%, you know, because it's about to be spring and, you know, they want you to buy patio furniture. Now, if you scroll down to the end of the email, this is what often gets ignored by me. You probably can't see it. Go ahead and show that next picture. Do you see underneath my email address? Unsubscribe from this mailing list. So I have thousands and thousands of emails that at the end of the email, there is a prompt for you to unsubscribe. Now, it would take a couple seconds for me to just click on the email and delete it. This takes a couple more minutes. You got to go to another website. You got to type in your email address. You got to answer, well, why are you unsubscribing? There's even some people who wonder that every time you do that, do they send your email to someone else who then sends you more email? It can be a hassle, but there must be a day or a time or a week or a month in my life where I sit down and I have to unsubscribe from these emails. Otherwise, I don't know that I ever solved the problem of getting rid of 50,000 emails. Now, it still begs the question. I know that that's what I need to do. Why don't I click the unsubscribe? Why am I okay with still receiving these emails? You know, I wanted to let you in to this embarrassing part of my life. Trust me, I'm really embarrassed by that. That I don't delight in that. I don't delight in being, you know, unorganized or having a bunch of clutter. I will tell you that it's really embarrassing that this part of my life has become a hindrance to my productivity. I have to ask myself, why won't I unsubscribe? Is it because I'm lazy? Is it because I have 50 more important things to do and I just don't have time to wade through email after email trying to determine which ones I need to unsubscribe from or which ones I need to, you know, keep? Or do I fear that if I unsubscribe from an email list, I might miss something big? I might miss the email that says, you know, congratulations, Dion, you won, you know, the amount of money that equals the number of unread emails in your, you know, that means I won $54,000. I don't know the exact reasons I hesitate to unsubscribe. I can tell you that if I do spend a few days unsubscribing, it has the possibility to increase the quality of my email experience. Church, I'm willing to reveal this embarrassing part of my life because there are more important things at play in my life and in your lives. There are some things in our lives that have created clutter. There are some things in our life that have created disorganization and chaos and pain and confusion and disorientation. I've used that phrase, that word. We've preached about that. And these are created from the things that often hinder our walk with God. These things that clutter and cloud and confuse and create chaos. They impact our relationship and our pursuit of God. They confound our worldview. They confound our relationships and our pursuit of God. Just yesterday, I was talking with my daughter and She shared with me that her 14-year-old friends, her parents, just told her over the weekend that they're getting a divorce. 14 years old. Now, how is a 14-year-old supposed to get good grades and be social and with that weighing heavy on her mind? Worry. That's going to be a part of her narrative probably over the next several weeks and months and maybe the rest of her life. I don't know how she's going to do that. I'm sure that my daughter is going to have some worry. This is one of her close friends. How can she help her navigate through this difficult time? I know people who are living what I would determine to be a pretty good life, except they don't feel that way because they're not making as much money as their coworker, or they don't have a home like their siblings, or they're not as glamorous as the actress on the cover of People magazine. I know people whose life travels at 70 miles per hour and they will not slow down. And they're missing out on some things in life because they are in a hurry. Do any of you know people like that? Are any of you that person? I can tell you that I need to unsubscribe to clear up my email inbox, but I also need to unsubscribe from the past and from worry and from hurry, from comparisons. I need to unsubscribe from addictions and cravings. I need to unsubscribe from isolation. I need to unsubscribe from fear. See, I believe that by unsubscribing, it may be possible for me, for all of us, to clear the way to receive transformative interactions with God. Because I believe we all desire to have transformative interaction with God. But the fact of the matter is, the truth is that we have so many things in our life that creates clutter. Can anyone say amen to that? And so for the next several weeks leading up to Resurrection Sunday on April 21st, I want to invite us all into a Lenten fast and journey. This Wednesday is what is known as Ash Wednesday. It begins the season of Lent. Lent is a 40-day fast that lasts through Easter, if you count all the days from Ash Wednesday through Easter, excluding the Sundays. You will count 40 days. Now, this is a tradition that goes all the way back to the early 2nd century. Originally, this was a fast that was followed by those who were preparing to be baptized. They were called catechumens. They were learning about the Christian faith, and they were called to fast 40 days prior to the Easter vigil. And on the Easter vigil, they would be baptized into Jesus Christ. And then the rest of the church community would celebrate communion with each other. The church was also invited to fast with the catechumens, with those who were preparing to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Why 40 days? Because 40 is a significant number in Scripture. Moses spent 40 days on top of the mountain. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering in the desert. And more importantly, Jesus spent 40 days fasting and praying in the wilderness, as recorded in the Gospels. And so this is an activity that is connected to the ministry of Jesus. Now, as a Christian faith tradition, Churches of Christ, we are not bound by any law or church rule to participate in Lent. Lent is a shortened form of the English word Lenten, which just means springtime. And so accordingly, this time represents an entering into a new season of life. And during this new season, we enter a period where we abstain from things, fasting, and we introduce new practices into our lives, disciplines. Someone described Lent as, quote, a season of preparation, self-reflection, and repentance when we seek to literally turn around and realign our lives and focus toward God. It is a time to give up things as well as to take on new life-giving practices, helping us rid ourselves of distractions and our own selfish desires. By doing so, we seek to live and love as more faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, close quote. So I want to invite us all into the season of Lent. And we, as a way to help and aid our journeys, we are providing written journals for anyone who is interested. This will help guide you and accompany you in your Lenten journey. These journeys contain selected readings from the biblical text with a short written reflection. I've asked several individuals to join me in writing reflections. Today we have available the first set of reflections. You can get one of these. It'll be on the table in the back, and it has the first weeks of reflection starting this Wednesday through this upcoming Saturday. You will see the general format of the journal. There will be a scripture for you to read. A short reflection will follow, and there will be a space underneath for you to write your own thoughts, reflection, prayers, jot down notes. Now, rooted in the understanding of Lent is repentance. It's a time for repentance, renewal, and new life. Let me reiterate this. You are invited to participate. You are not ordered or commanded or obligated to participate. You don't get a special reward if you participate. You're not reprimanded if you don't participate. I wanted to provide an introduction today so we could all think about participating in the fast starting this Wednesday. We start the fast. We abstain from something. Could be a range of things, a food item that you enjoy eating. I mean, it would be so easy for me to fast from chitlins. I don't like them chitlins, and so it'd be really easy for me to fast from chitlins. So you want to fast from something that you enjoy, that's part of your regular routine. So it may be a food item. It may be abstaining from technology, picking a day of the week or even a full week where you disconnect from the electronic devices or the television. Maybe you don't watch TV for the next 40 days, or maybe you don't watch the news for the next 40 days. I remember someone who was used to reading 1 to 2 books a day. They were an avid reader. And so for Lent, they gave up reading books. There is no need to fast on Sundays. Sunday is a celebration day. Monday through Saturday is when you conduct your fast. And remember, don't just abstain from something. Introduce a new practice into your life. It may be exercise, or it may be reading a book. For those of you who never read a book, maybe over the next 40 days you commit to reading a book. Or it might be waking up every day and writing in your journal, jotting down 5 things that you're thankful for the next 40 days. That's all up to you. My encouragement this morning is not a mere invitation to fast or read scripture or even record your reflections. My invitation this morning is really rooted in the invitation uttered by Jesus. Those words that I read this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me and get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I've shared with you before that this passage and this version of this passage was read to me back in 2011, March of 2011, a day I'll never forget. It's when I was taking a week Sabbath. My wife sent me away to a retreat center in Amish country, and I was at this bed and breakfast all by myself, had the whole land and the whole retreat facility. Supposed to be others there, but they all canceled. I was there all by myself, so I had sort of a week by myself me and the hosts were there. And at lunchtime, my first day, we were eating lunch, and the guy, whose name was Dan, pulled out his Bible, the Message, and he read those words that I just said. And it was a time, church, when I was, man, I was fried. I was tired. I was wore out. My relationship with God was hanging on by threads. My relationship with church was hanging on by threads. I can tell you, I maybe even have shared this in the past, that prior to that week, I was prepared to stand up in this pulpit and say that I am resigning. My wife sent me away, and I sat at that table, and I'll never forget when he read those words as I was eating something. I started to cry. I started to cry. Because as he was asking those questions, are you tired? Yes. Are you burned out? Yes. You tired of religion? Yes. And then I remember those words, the words of Jesus that said, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. See, the invitation that I'm giving you today is to come and to get away with Jesus. If you don't want to do it over the next 40 days during Lent, that's fine. Start today, start next week, but get away with Jesus. Let him show you what a real rest feels like. Is anyone out there tired? Someone ever ask you how you doing? You're not sleepy. You're just tired. Things at home, I'm just tired. The stress at work, I'm just tired. I'm trying to figure out this God thing as best as I can, I'm just not figuring it out, and I'm tired. I've been raising my kids as best as I can, and they are doing all type of stuff that they're not getting it through their thick skulls what they're supposed to do, and I'm tired. What about that 14-year-old girl who probably witnessing her parents arguing every day? She's going to bed with the pillows over her ears because she's sick of hearing her parents argue. Now they're saying, we're getting a divorce. I guarantee, I don't know if she's able to verbalize. She's 14, she's 15. But I get the sense that if she could verbalize it, she would say, I'm tired. You ever felt that way? You ever just felt tired? The invitation today, church, is for you to come and to get away with Jesus. Let him show you the unforced rhythms of grace. Let him help you recover your life. There are times that I meet with people in the office who are struggling. They want some spiritual advice. And I have implemented that language into my sharing with them. I can't solve your problems, I'm probably going to have to refer you to some other people. But what I can help do is to help put you on a path to recover your life. That's all I can do. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to maybe share with you some biblical insights. But ultimately, I want you to come away with Jesus so that you can recover your life. Fasting and prayer discipline is a way to go and get away with Jesus so that you can recover your life. As you sit at the feet of Jesus, he will teach you the rhythms of grace. That is the place I want us all to go. A place of serene and a place of peace. Come and get away with Jesus. The invitation for us to get away with Jesus together is an added bonus. You know, Lent is a season that we do together as a church family. And in doing so, we afford ourselves the opportunity to talk to each other about our experiences, to talk to each other about the passages that we are all reading in community together. We can pray with each other. We can even fast together, do similar fast. And we all look forward when we break the fast in jubilant celebration on Easter Sunday. So as we close this morning, I would like us to pray. I want us to pray a prayer that is very old. It's a very simple prayer, believed to be or originate in the early 4th century, late 3rd century, early 4th century. It was a prayer that those who took vows of the monastic life and went and lived in the wilderness, in the desert, in connection to the ministry of Jesus. And they committed to give their life total service to God. And they would pray this simple prayer, just repeating this phrase over and over again. It's called the Jesus Prayer. It's a simple prayer that simply says this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You say that with me? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to do something with the prayer kind of in reverse order. You'll get a feel of what I'm doing. And I want you to use this time as a way to prime yourself and prep yourself if you're going to choose to participate in this 40-day fast. So if you can, I want you to get comfortable and bow your heads, and we're going to pray through this Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, we confess that we sin and that our lives are broken. God, we confess that oftentimes our sin has way more of a hold over us than you do. So God, our simple confession today is that we have sinned against you. And God, we are praying that you would indeed forgive us of our sins, release us from our sins. And God, for the sins that continue to hold over us and pray over us and deceive us and trick us, God, release us from that. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. God, while we pray right now in community, we're also praying for ourselves as individuals. I, Dion, God, I cry out to you to have mercy on me. I invite everyone in here to cry out to God right now on your own behalf, for God to have mercy on you. God, have mercy on me. So easy for me to look at the sins of other people, or the mistakes of other people, or the shortcomings of other people, and in doing so, I skip right over my own stuff. So God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, perhaps the greatest confession that we have ever made is that Jesus is the Son of God, your Son, God. God, as we reflect on this powerful truth that Jesus is your Son, it also humbles us that you sent your Son for us. that he died for your son. God, I can confess that I am just completely unwilling to give up my children for anybody in this room, anybody in this world. I can't do it. But God, you gave your son for us. Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, you are King. Even when we have let the past and hurry and worry and cravings and isolation and fear, when we've comparisons, when we've let those things creep into our lives, God, we still in the face of that confess Jesus to be King, to be the most important aspect, theme, person in our lives. Jesus, you are King. And we lift you up. Lord, continue to rule in our hearts. I love that you rule us not by compulsion, not by forcing us, but by offering love through service. Jesus, you came to serve. You love through your service. God, it is our response to name you absolute, unaccompanied ruler of our lives. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to unsubscribe. That will be our journey over the next several weeks. Next week, we will look at unsubscribing from the past. So in your journals, some of the passages there deal with the way we deal with our past. If you have any questions about this journey, feel free to give me a call, and I would love to hear from you. I'd also invite some of you, if you're willing, if you have any journal entries that you don't mind those being shared with the rest of the body, I would love to share some of those next week during the sermon. So if you are interested in sharing that with me, please see me, and I would love to read some of your reflections and what you're going through during your journey. At this time, we're going to sing a song of invitation. We have just prayed, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is a song, in addition, in response to that we give our lives to Jesus, totally and wholly. If you're struggling with that, you want us to pray for you over that, please, as we're singing the song, just come forward. Elders will come up, and you can share with them your needs for prayer. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to take a step towards following him, the invitation is always there for you to talk with us, and we can share with you, study the Bible, and talk to you about God and Jesus. If you're in the process of doing that, or you've already done that, and you want to make a public profession of faith today, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we can also do that. Let's stand. Let's sing.